Welcome to the Consumers. My name is Greg Warren. We are back in Austin at the Moon Tower Festival. To my left, Tim Convey, regular host of the program.
Hello,
wearing Greg. His Tecovas Western hat that we got as a gift.
I'm fully Texas now. We've been down here for 3 or 4 days. I'm leaning into close. It, y'all.
Not even close. Sean O'Brien is with us.
Greg, how are we doing?
Wearing his Nashville Comedy Festival shirt at the Austin Moon Tower Comedy Festival.
Who cares?
Yeah, I think everyone's fine with it, man.
I don't care.
I think it's a cross promotion.
It's a shot in the face.
I think we just plugged two festivals in 1 minute right there.
Also, special guest. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
We got him.
Our fellow Missourian.
That is true.
Yeah.
And
you'll hear the accent. Yeah. Yes.
Superstar comedian Yakov Smirnoff. Yeah. How about that, guys?
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Buddy, this is long overdue. We're really glad to have you here, man.
I'm happy to be here. My hat says my product, which is What a Country.
Yes.
Yakov Smirnoff. Mm-hmm. So I'm my own product.
Yeah. We're not doing that. We're not doing that product.
No, I heard that.
Listen, we looked at it and we had to kick it down the road. At some point, you know, the brand might be Yakov Smirnoff, What a Country.
But we'll see.
And then it's a huge brand. Now
I think we'll do Branson at some point too, and it's hard to talk about Branson without talking about this guy.
Yeah, you are probably the biggest name in Branson, right?
100%.
Probably. Yeah. At this point, I mean, everybody else is gone. So I'm the only and the last one standing.
in the heyday, at the height of Branson, it was probably you, Shoji
Tabuchi, Andy Williams.
Andy Williams, yeah.
Mel Tillis.
Oh, Mel Tillis.
Orlando.
Tony Orlando.
Yeah. He had his own theater there. Yeah.
Was Don part of that?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. Don was done before that.
And did you guys
know
hang
who Don
out?
Was? It was two girls.
Two girls.
Yeah, there's two
nothing,
girls.
No.
Tony Educated. Orlando and Don.
Orlando, I know.
Tony Orlando, yeah. They were two people, Don.
Yeah.
So did you guys all hang out after shows? That crew, sort of those founding fathers?
We all were friendly, and we didn't really have much time to hang out because one of the things that Branson is famous for, that you stay after the show and you shake hands and you sign autographs. So the lines in the heyday, there was just like you could spend another hour or two just doing that.
Right.
So you didn't really have a lot of time to hang out. However, everybody was friendly and supportive of each other. So it was really, when you look back on those days, I mean, I ended up there. I didn't plan on being there. Those guys came there because 60 Minutes did an expose in Branson, and they asked Mel Tillis, and he was stuttering. And they asked him, how much money are you making? And he said, millions. And that made everybody come there, you know. Yeah. So
millions.
It's been a great place for me, you know.
Yeah, when I go to Branson, your theater is and the billboards and everything. Now, I guess, was your first big break the Tonight Show?
Actually, surprisingly, no.
Really?
The big break was Miller Lite commercial.
Amazing. Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah. It was. I got the Tonight Show because of Miller Lite.
Really?
Yeah. What? So how did you? Well, I guess we'll get into how you got Miller Lite.
That's
amazing.
I mean, so you're a comedian.
Yes.
And you were you a comedian in Russia?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you were a comedian in Russia.
I was a comedian in Russia, then came to America and didn't speak English. So that's a little bit of the obstacle to do comedy. And I started learning English and became a bartender. Again, we're on topic here. And then was learning English in a bar. And then, that explains a lot of things now. And then went to Hollywood and kind of gave it a try, and Mitzi Shore, who was the owner of the Comedy Store, she spotted me, and I was just doing an open mic, and she said, stick around, there is always place for good and different. And that's kind of, I didn't know who I was even talking to.
Wow.
And then she said, come back tomorrow and you'll see a regular show. And I came back, and the first person on stage was Robin Williams, followed by Billy Crystal, followed by David Letterman, followed by Richard Pryor.
Wow.
And I'm going, well, if she likes them and she likes me, I'm in the right spot.
Yeah,
so
wild.
That's how it started, you know.
And you were telling me at one point, did you live in a house like right behind the Comedy
Yes,
Store?
Yes, yeah.
And you were a craftsman, so you did like work on
I was
on
a handyman. Yeah. Because my English wasn't good, and my act was just, you know, just growing tiny bit. So Mitzi gave my dad a job to do carpentry around the Comedy Store. And then my dad was aging, so I kind of took it over. And that was my main thing, to go there and fix things. And ironically, Pauly Shore was a young kid, was 12, 13 or something. So he would undo all the door locks and throw them like doorknobs, and he throw them away so she couldn't come in. And my job was to go buy new. And so I had a permanent job.
Yeah.
Full time.
Yeah, you did.
Full time
job. Kind of an arrangement with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm grateful to Paulie. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And who lived in that house with you?
Well, there were several people, but Andrew Dice Clay was my roommate for 3 years. He was teaching me English. So between
a lot of nursery rhymes.
Yes, that's how you start, right? Yeah. Nursery.
So that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And you're pretty straight laced. You said those guys were. This was what, early 80s?
Yeah.
Those guys were partying pretty hard.
Well, Robin Williams was there a lot. Richard Pryor was there a lot. So, and they would start partying like at midnight, and I had to be at work at 8 or 9. So they would just be loud, and I tried to sleep. And then the next morning I would go downstairs, and they would just finish like at 6 or something. And yeah, you know, it was a lot of partying for sure. Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. Yeah. And then, so you're out there, and then I guess some casting agent sees you on stage at the Comedy Store. Is like, I want to put you in a Miller Lite commercial.
You know, honestly, I thought about this because you mentioned that. And I could not honestly remember how I got it. I think it had to do, I did Night Court episodes.
Oh, really?
So yeah, before that.
Yeah.
And then I did a movie with Robin Williams, Moscow on the Hudson. So that was 1981. Yeah, and then somehow I was kind of like fresh meat in Hollywood. And some executive probably said, hey, let's put him, you know, in this commercial. Yeah. And that's kind of started the whole reversal jokes. You know, I did it before, but then it became nationally known that you in Soviet Russia, you know, you in America you watch TV, in Soviet Russia TV watches you, stuff like that.
So you're the first guy to do that, that kind of thing. Yeah. And that is like just part of
American lexicon of comedy.
Yeah. Anyway,
reversal
joke. Everybody uses that reversal.
Reversal.
Thing.
Yeah.
Russell. Yeah.
And then, you know, Jay Leno was still like hanging out at the Comedy Store or wherever. He would see me and goes, no, you drive the car and Russia car drives you, right? You know, I'm going, well, no, but.
And then was Carson the first stand-up TV spot?
I think I did. Do you remember? It was a long time ago, but it was Norm Crosby's Comedy Shop. It was like a kind of a spin-off from a Comedy Store.
Okay.
And then they had a lawsuit between Mitzi and Norm Crosby because they were, he or she was copying that name. And, you know, but that was the first one, probably nationally. And then it was probably a couple of other ones before Carson. Okay. I did Dick Clark special.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was before Carson. So, and then it kind of built to that place where I got the Miller Lite commercial. And then literally after that, it opened many, many doors.
Yeah. The, I mean, I remember seeing you on Carson.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you were just part of, this is all early 80s, mid 80s. Yeah. I mean, you were just part of it.
85 was Carson, but that was already, I made two movies before that and three or four Night Courts. So I was, and here's the deal with Carson. I was auditioning for Carson show every year, and Mitzi was very helpful to kind of get people, you know, to see you, and especially the Tonight Show. And Jim McCauley was the gatekeeper producer, and he didn't like me. And he just would just say, Yaakov, no, Johnny's not going to like you. Johnny's not going to like you. And then 6 years, and then on the sixth year, he just said, he pulled me aside and he goes, Yaakov, let's just save time for each other. You'll get on that show when the hell freezes over. And I start watching Weather Channel. Just, right. You never know.
Randy.
You never know. My chances were so low.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Right.
Might as well keep your eye on the ball, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, and I kind of let it go. I let it go because I couldn't get on. And so then all of these other things that were happening, and I didn't think I'll ever get on the Tonight Show. And then Carson saw Miller Lite commercial, and he called McCauley, and he goes, this guy's funny. Why don't we have him on? And McCauley said, oh, we were about to.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, of course. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I do the Tonight Show, and it was night before Thanksgiving, and I requested that. And McCauley was, he was like going, you're not going to tell me when to put it. I said, well, I have a lot to be thankful for, and I really think it would be a good idea for me to do that on the night before Thanksgiving. And so he agreed, and I did that set, and Carson called me over to the couch, which I didn't expect. I mean, this was one of those things that you just never know. And he called me over, and I sat down, and I said, you know, Johnny, you have things in America that we never had in Russia, like policemen have warning shots. And he almost fell off the chair. And we went to a commercial, and McCauley comes over, and he kind of sits between me and Johnny during the commercial. And he goes, hey, can you do another set like this, like a couple of months from now? And I said, when the hell freezes over. He goes, touche, yeah, touche.
Yeah. Oh, he got it. Yeah. At least he did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did seven Carson seven appearances.
Carson. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know I caught some of those, and
I remember the Night Courts and the TV ads, and then
the TV Carson ads, yeah, too. It was just, I mean, and that's right in, and when you're in high school is when you just sort of know about, mm-hmm. you're just discovering pop culture in some ways, mm-hmm. and it's like, I mean, you were just part of the zeitgeist at that point, yeah, right.
And the Carson thing, the callover was a huge deal.
Oh, it was,
because it wasn't just because you were on as a comic doesn't mean you would, excuse me, get called over. So that was like almost the second passing
Yeah.
Like getting on the show and then getting on that couch.
I've done shows. They tell me to go.
Oh, you had to get off. Get off the stage.
Get as far away from that couch.
No, get him out. That's excellent.
Yeah.
And things are going great now. You did the Tonight Show again fairly recently.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon, 40 years later.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I just watched that. It was last year, right?
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great, man.
What did that feel like? Obviously, different show, different place, different host, and everything. Did that mean something to you?
It meant a lot. Yeah. It meant a lot because Jay never had me on during that, you know, and so.
Well, yeah, you didn't laugh at his carb.
There you go. Yeah. Now, thank you. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah. I laugh at I laugh at Sean's dumb stuff all the time. You never 60, know.
60.
You never know. He might be somebody someday.
So Jay never had me on, and so and this was during that Nashville Comedy Festival last year, where the Tonight Show booker Michael Cox. I auditioned. It was actually also very kind of surprising to me because I wanted to get on the showcase, but they said it was full. There was nobody. And, you know, Brian Dorfman, he is a promoter, you know, Brian.
Yeah.
Very
old and, friend.
Yeah. And he said, you know, let's put him on that showcase. And they said, but there's no room. He said, there's always room for 5 minutes, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I did well, and Michael got me on the show, which was great. And then what was even more exciting and that Jimmy Fallon was the most gracious host. Yeah. And my wife was pregnant, with the baby, and he kept talking to the baby in the womb, saying, if you're feeling blue someday, just call Uncle Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy is going to cheer you up, It was really great. During the run-through, you know how they do the run-through before, no audience, they said that he never watched the run-through, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he walked on, say, I didn't see him. He was behind me. And he stayed for the whole run-through and laughed. And they were, like, shocked. He said he all these years that he'd been doing this and never came out.
Wow.
So there was so much reverence, so much I felt so honored that he was actually looking at me like that comedy legend, as they call me.
Yeah.
And he was very graceful, very graceful. I was really...
That's great.
You killed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. You killed it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Every 40 years, I'll do that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You have such a unique credit. You know, you popped in last week to Springfield for Greg's show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's great. I'm hosting.
A real unique credit, Sean.
No, I was
show. The guy just said he was on Carson 7 times. And you think doing a guest set on my show in Springfield is a big deal?
It was very much appreciated. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Not as reverent as Jimmy Fallon. But
right.
Nice. Go ahead, Sean.
But my point was, it was fun because to bring him up, the crowd had no idea he was there.
Yeah that was so. I love that.
So that's a fun moment for the host because it's like, hey, before I bring up Greg, we got a special surprise. They have no idea, and so you're just like, oh, this guy grew up in the Soviet Union, and then you've seen him on the Tonight Show.
They're just like, no way, no
Jimmy
way.
Fallon and Johnny Carson.
Yeah, that was a great intro, man. That was
awesome. Where they
and they're like, they're what? Like,
wait,
what?
Wait, wait.
Oh, what? Yeah.
And then the second you get to the K and Yakov, they're like, oh.
And he plays, what is it? What do you play? They Come to America or Born in the USA? Is it?
They Come into America.
They Come to America, man, when he's out there. Man, the place goes nuts.
They went standing ovation, the whole thing.
You see me anywhere. Come. Yeah, the crowd loved it. I got messages like, Yakov Smirnoff was on his show.
So cool.
It's so great, man.
But nobody knew. Thanks for inviting me, too.
Oh, man.
I've been very blessed. And I was telling you that Nate invited me. He was doing Arena. And
In Florida, right?
Yeah. And I just wanted to stop by and say hello. And he said, would you like to do a guest spot? And here's 12,000 people.
Yeah.
And they also responded that way. Yeah. I was like, well, man, that, you know, that was almost like, okay, if I don't do anything else, this is awesome.
And I want to say this, man. Sean got your name right, too. Which is
he did. That's unusual.
Yeah, yeah. I'm about 7 for 10 with the names.
Last night
I messed up the poor.
Last night, Ivan Decker, not so lucky. No. I don't know. I don't know how you got this one. Yeah. I got to be honest.
This is great.
Sean brought up Ivan Decker. We'll have him on the pod someday. Canadian comic. Very funny. Mm-hmm. Sean brought him up as Ivan Decker. Decker, not Yvonne. Ivan Decker.
Yvonne would have been worse.
It's a real name.
It's a real name.
He told me. He said, "I'm glad it wasn't Yvonne."
He was being nice. He's Canadian.
Of course, he's very kind. He's Canadian, man.
He's so nice. I saw him do a set later that night. He brought himself up as Yvonne. Just to make Sean feel comfortable.
Yeah, maybe I'll let this stick. I mean, he did really well with that name.
Yeah, he's a great set.
Yeah, you look at it.
And then you guys were on a show late last night at the festival here, which was. I mean, you're
great, man.
So good.
Gosh, you know.
Thank you very much.
I'm certainly not going to reveal. You have a joke about your dad in a suit, and I laughed so hard. I looked at Tim. I was like, oh, that is brilliant. I literally nudged Tim. I'm like, that is brilliant. Loved it.
So, I mean, even in a short set, you tell your whole story, but just laughs. And really shut down. Cool. I mean, that was a big show. There were heavy hitters on there.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
That was my third show yesterday.
It was the third one.
After doing an hour show and then greeting people and then going to two more shows. So by the end of the night, I was like, okay, I gotta go to bed, you know. But the audience, you guys were great. And the audience was just really nice. And it was late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was super
great
fun.
Great time.
The brand this week is Miller Lite.
Why not, man?
Yes.
We had to
Shoe
do it.
Shoe fits, right?
We had to do it, man.
Our first beer, our first alcoholic beverage, I think.
Guinness.
No, we did Guinness.
Oh, we did Guinness.
Yeah,
that's
with
right.
Charlie Winfrey.
Yeah, it was a good
Charlie, never in a Guinness commercial for when I...
No, I don't believe that he was.
Not yet, I should say.
Yeah. After that accent he did, I'd hire him for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Miller Lite, even this one, there's controversy on exactly how it all began. There's a company in Chicago called that came out with it as Meisterbrau Lite. Meisterbrau came out. They had a patent for this light beer. How they did it was pretty cool. Whole lot of science, guys. Ready for this? They spent 2 years developing the process to make it. It utilized an enzyme called amyloglucosidase.
Yeah, that's what my guess was.
Yeah. Sean, you were saying that on the way
I was
over
talking here. About it in the drive up.
Yeah. That was I in just my said it wrong. In my commercial. That was another line.
Amyloglucosidase.
While the normal brewing process leaves small pieces of unfermented starch in finished beer, that process, I'm not going to say that word again, it converts the starch into a fermentable sugar, which reduces the calorie and carbohydrate content of the beer.
So that's why it's less filling.
Less filling.
Yeah, yes. There you go.
See,
yeah,
I was telling the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Less filling tastes great, obviously. Just a very big part of
my childhood.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Drinking as a kid?
No, it's just that you could not be anywhere in the U.S.
No,
at any sporting event, anywhere, somebody at a baseball game is going to yell, "Tastes great, less filling. Like, and they just go back and forth. And, you know, in high school, we were saying it. We didn't know what we were talking about, you know?
So funny. But yeah, just a part of the world in the 80s. And I mean,
every celebrity, every sports, every athlete.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. There is what I think is a misconception that Meisterbrau got the recipe from this thing called Gablinger's Diet Beer. Diet Beer came out in 1967. This guy, Joseph L. Owades, sort of invented it. And then there are versions of the story that Meisterbrau took it from him, or they bought the thing. But then Meisterbrau gets very, very upset about that. And in 1970 had Gablinger's Diet Beer and process invalidated their whole patent. They had it thrown out in court to say, you weren't a part of this. We kind of did it on our own. And the fact is, a lot of people say, there were many people that kind of figured that process out sort of at the same time, but nobody really knew what to do with it. Even Meisterbrau, in fact, very much marketing it as a diet beer. Hey, look, it's less filling, but didn't know exactly how to do it. In 1972, they got in bad financial straits over at Meisterbrau. And in June of that year, sold its brands, including Light, to the Miller Brewing Company of Milwaukee.
Okay.
Miller gets involved. They go, we think we can do something with this one. And they set about to give Light more of a beer taste, because while it was a diet beer, it just didn't taste as much like beers they would have liked to sell it. They spent more than a year testing 30 different formulas while retaining the, here we go, amyloglucosidase.
We were also talking about that in the drive in the day.
Process. Yes.
Yeah.
Same word. I think I just pronounced it differently.
That's the... Slow roller with this guy today.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
So in 72, they take it over and they go, branding. How can we do this? They just called it Light. There was no Miller on it, and they obviously got rid of the Meisterbrau. It was just Light. They launched it in a few test markets.
Did they always misspell it?
L-I-T-E.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Launched it in a few test markets, including Springfield, Illinois, Providence, Rhode Island, Knoxville, Tennessee, San Diego, California. Crushed it in 1973. Even when they started in those test markets, they heavily marketed with pro sports and masculine figures. It would have been really easy, and maybe this is what beers had done before, to just be like, it's a diet beer, it's for women, whatever. Yeah. And they're like, no, we think guys want less filling. We think guys want these things, but we're going to go heavy on the masculine side of it, because we don't want anyone to say the word diet. We don't want it to be about watching your figure, but we think less filling is just a, you know, more comfortable thing they're proposing, as opposed to, you know, watch your waistline or anything like that. Kind of genius. Yeah. So they went big, crushed it in the test markets, and then in 1975, they introduced it nationally. It became the first successful mainstream light beer in the United States. Their early production totals of 12.8 million barrels quickly increased to 24.2 million barrels by 1977, as Miller rose to second place in the American brewing marketplace.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder who was second before that. Heilman, probably?
I don't know. It's a great question.
But it was Heilman.
All of a sudden, this thing starts blowing up, and obviously, the other breweries, including Anheuser-Busch, is like, we got to get on it. AB comes through big with Bud Light in 1982, came out, which eventually, in 94, they beat them. They passed them up.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, that story must be really interesting. I guess it's just because they're Anheuser-Busch. They've got all the resources. But similarly advertised. In fact, as I was reading a bunch of these ads, and we'll get into them, and laughing, we're remembering all of them. I couldn't have told you now which one was Miller Lite and which one was Bud Light.
I think I could.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they both used humor a lot.
Right.
I mean, Miller Lite was the taste great, less filling is that's the thing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
When did that come out?
That's a great question. I mean, I think pretty early on, but okay. Those, the
70s, I think I remember watching those in the 70s.
That Taste Great Less Filling was ranked by Advertising Age magazine as the eighth best advertising campaign in history.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Developed by a company called McCann Erickson Worldwide. In the prime of the campaign, the television commercials typically portrayed a light beer drinker noting its great taste, followed by another who observed that it was less filling. It went on and on and on. Their ads were all over the place, starring...
Smirnoff.
Let's watch it. This one is so good. So the date on this is 1985. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do a little bit of this. Hey, man. Yes, Randy.
My beer thing came out in 75. Less filling tastes great.
Oh, okay. So kind of at the launch, then that was their
their
war cry, if you will. All right, here we go. Can everybody see?
Yep.
Sean, can you see
it?
Yeah.
I'll let you play,
Greg. I'm gonna do the honors of hitting play.
When I came to America from Russia, I discovered many wonderful things like blue jeans, unopened mail, and light beer from Miller. When I tasted this light, I said to myself, what a country. Light has great taste. Light's also less filling with third less calories than the regular beer. In America, there is plenty of light beer and you can always find a party. In Russia, party always finds you.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and less.
That's amazing.
That's great, man.
How much do you remember that day?
Was that just the one shoot?
Yeah, I mean, vividly?
I was definitely very nervous. They did a lot of takes. I remember sweating. I remember, you know, that what was happening after that was, like I said, the Tonight Show happened pretty much, it's 85, right? 1985, that's where I did my first Tonight Show. So it was shortly after it started airing, because it was November of 85 when I did the first Tonight Show. And this probably aired earlier in the year for like summer during, bowl games and all of that. And all of a sudden it became big time. And I had a, it was an interesting story that happened. I was invited to meet President Reagan. Wow. This was, so I was in Washington, D.C. doing, I was in a club. It's called Comedy Cafe. And this guy came over after the show and he said, I'm hosting President Reagan, Nancy Reagan in my house. Would you like to be on our guest there? It was like, there will be only 18 people. And I thought he was cuckoo, you know.
Yeah.
And then turned out to be, he was the chief editor of Washington Times. And, excuse me. And he was not bluffing. So he sent me tickets. I went there. And this is the scene. I'll tell you why. It's like helicopters. It's like, a scene from a movie. Helicopters are hanging over his house. There's a FBI.
Wow.
They're getting him out of the car, frisking him, showing ID, all of that. And I'm sitting on the passenger seat, and I kind of I'm like going, oh boy, this is not going to end up well for the Russian guy. Russian guy going to see the president.
He's right in the middle of the Cold War.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then the FBI guy shines the light on me and he goes, Miller Lite commercial, right? Come on in.
Wow.
Now that's power. That's power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. That's great, man.
Who's the coolest person you've ever met?
I would say Carson and
really
Carson and President Reagan. Those two would be my definitely.
They were both awesome.
Jack Nicholson was good too.
Yeah.
But those two are above that.
They stick out.
Yeah.
Just
definitely
the coolest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Wow.
So many ads. You know, you could go through, but professional athletes, they went big. And again, the whole genius of this thing was we're going for guys and we're not going to make it about the diet stuff. Bubba Smith, who was in the
That's Academy who I remember. From. Bubba Smith was like very much. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the guy who I see from these ads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they say it was these athletes, but also, quote, oddball pop culture figures.
Yeah.
I think you would fall into that. Mickey Spillane they had with Lee Meredith. And then Rodney Dangerfield was in a ton of them.
Did you know Rodney? Oh,
okay. I met Rodney. I did his special, yeah.
The also, Young Comedian special?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That also was a big
That's a huge thing. Was it at Dangerfield's in New York is where you taped it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also the caption on your commercial at the bottom. It said, Yakov Smirnoff, famous Russian comedian, which was kind of a thing that they did a bunch. So they did one with Joe Frazier, and it said, Joe Frazier, famous heavyweight singer. And there was a barbershop quartet, and he starts singing with them, and they start singing.
Joe Frazier was in one?
Yeah.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah. Another real famous one, the Bob Uecker one.
Good was that, he missed the tag?
Bob Uecker... It's about the seats, the whole thing of the seats where he's at in the Milwaukee Stadium. He's got the statue of him way in the back row, which is so cool. It shows an usher is moving him from his seat as a ball game, getting escorted away. And he goes, I must be in the front row. But he ends up in the back row of the stands.
He's up at the top and he's yelling, he missed the tag.
He missed the tag.
that thing really
huge
must be in the front row. Everybody said, all the time.
Well, and it's just a regular term, Bob Uecker seats. I think we're up in the Bob Uecker seats.
Yeah.
You'd say.
Yeah. For, must be in the front row.
Yeah. And then there's a statue at the Brewers Stadium way in the back. It's so funny. Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of them. They had bowlers involved. They had and then as it got this stuff I associate more with the 90s, it was the silly made up extreme sports. So they had wiener dog drag racing. Two wiener dogs racing each other at a drag racing.
Yeah.
Remember sumo high dive? Sumo wrestlers yes. diving off the platforms. Miss Perfect face-off. Beauty pageant contestants were playing ice hockey. And then the yes. tagline on all these was, if you can combine great taste with less filling, yes. you can combine anything. Can your beer do this?
There was one like a golf where like somebody was trying to make a putt and then somebody tackles them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were good.
Yeah.
Those were less celebrity, weren't they?
Yeah. More just silly. There's one where a cat fight one, two women, or in a fountain fighting and kind of ripping clothes off in the whole process. That was pretty controversial, but also real popular. From 95 to 96, they did the Life is Good campaign, which showed Miller drinkers' aspirational transition to more fun through a Miller Lite bottle cap. So like Beach Rewind, remember that? Three men are on the beach, three beautiful women walk by, and they just rewind so they can watch it again and again.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's... Wouldn't it be great? Was that Keystone maybe or somebody? Yeah, there's a lot of those.
Real good. Richard Karn was in commercials. Larry Bird was in commercials. Keith Jackson, was in commercials. All for
which
those things.
Keith Jackson, the football player?
I'm assuming the football player.
Well, there's the announcer. Isn't that Keith Jackson?
Oh, was he not a football player?
No, there's a football player. They're both.
I'm picturing the announcer, who I assumed had played football.
No, I'm thinking of Keith Jackson. Wasn't there a guy that played for the Eagles named Keith Jackson?
I think you're right, Greg.
It was like a defensive end. Randy.
Okay. Probably a pretty common name.
Keith Jackson was the, yeah.
He was the, he was in that Gatorade commercial.
Okay.
Before he died.
From the University of Alabama.
Yeah. Oh, that guy. Then they went back to using high-profile celebrities who were either on opposite ends of the spectrum or had bragging rights to exchange with the other. So back to great taste, less filling. So they had George Brett and Robin Young, who were famous, you know, sort of rivals. Edgar Winter and George Hamilton were in one.
Because George Hamilton is extremely tan and Edgar Winter is extremely pale. Yes. They really did that?
Yes.
They did that?
Yes.
That's hilarious. That's fantastic. That is good. Yeah, Randy, did you have something?
Keith Jackson, the football broadcaster.
Yeah.
Okay, but there is a Keith Jackson NFL player is what I was asking. I think for the Eagles, defensive end.
I think I'm with Greg. I think he's right.
Okay. This is pretty cool. So they changed. So they didn't add the Miller until, I think it was in the 90s. I think it was just light.
Oh, really? Did they call it light beer from Miller?
I've got that somewhere. Here we go. 1998 Miller relabeled light as Miller Light.
I think it used to be light beer from Miller is what they would say.
That could be. But they added the
Miller. Maybe not on the package.
Not until the late 90s, which is crazy. They also shifted the logo. So they went back to the logo went, it was closer to that, what we see on that Navy. And if you saw it, you'd recognize
well, that's
it.
A Texas flag right there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I can't see it from
Texas
angle,
state flag.
Yeah.
Show Texas, some respect.
Texas branding, all kinds of stuff.
They do, man. They do that. I mean,
yeah, I know
there's a lot of like, we're going to cater to Texas cause it's so big.
Yeah.
And they're a little over the top with it. Like when they do the ads, it'd be like, like if you're just watching a Ford commercial, I lived down here for a while. Ford trucks in Texas. Yeah. they just lay in Texas really hard.
Get your trucks, y'all. Everything is y'all.
We're big in Texas.
You're from Texas. You need a truck and a Miller Lite.
We know you guys like big trucks in Texas. Texas.
We put the flag on it.
Yeah. Don't you think they just want to hear a regular commercial? No. They have to know that we...
Yeah. So they went back to this classic logo.
The one they did with Yakov was just shameful.
The Texas one?
Yeah, it was the same thing. They had him they had him doing the commercial we just saw.
Sure.
And then they dubbed in. He's like, you know, party
y'all. Yeah,
party finds you in Texas.
In Texas, party finds you.
It was, yeah.
The
was,
flag is back behind.
Obviously there. Not Yakov yeah, talking, yeah. But it was shameful. I'm glad you never have to see
they call him. Yeah, they call him Yalkov.
Yalkov. Yalkov Smirnoff.
Y'all.
Please, how much, how much Miller Lite did they hook you up with? Did they're like, hey, here's a couple pallets. Did you get any hookups?
I don't remember, but
is extremely important to Sean. You need to remember it, okay?
Oh, I mean, I think it's a fair question.
I still have some.
That much?
That's what I'm getting at, man. Original cans from the mid-'80s.
Yeah.
This, I think, is really cool.
It's always been thinking about. For the
yeah, it would be. It would be funny if they had me say, "Where do Russians hang out here in Texas? On that tree, boy."
Randy likes it. Randy really likes it.
Randy likes that it. Was
nice. This logo, I think, is amazing. This is the original logo. They didn't have it for years, but they went back. And in keeping with Miller Lite being such a part of not only pop culture, but just comedy, in 2013, when Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues came out, they featured the beer prominently. Because that's, when is Anchorman set? Isn't it set in?
San Diego.
No, I know, but when?
Early 70s, 80?
I would think.
Oh, was it 70s?
Yeah. So they used the old Miller Lite thing, and then as a promotion, they switched it back. It was supposed to be temporarily, but the sales absolutely soared, so they're like, yeah, we're going to keep it full time. I mean, that's about as good of a logo as is out there, in my opinion, this old Miller Lite one.
Yeah, it's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the deal. Bud Light passed them up and certainly does more business than them. But they are still very much in the game. I think hanging in there at number two for light beers.
Okay.
And then Miller was bought by Coors Molson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that's who's running the show now. But still one of their really big brands. And again, light beer, I think, selling more than anything else. And it all happened with them figuring out it's not about diets. It's not about marketing women. It's still beer. Let's kind of go big.
Yeah.
And Yakov a big part of that.
Outstanding. I'll say what any more on the brand?
That's all I got, man. I think I've said it all.
I think you said it
pretty
all.
Pretty nicely, don't you guys? Yeah.
How long did you do stand up in Russia?
Well, I started when I was 15 and I left when I was 26. So
okay, so a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was pretty successful. I did a lot of cruise ships work and so I definitely was hooked. I mean, I wanted to make people laugh, but yeah. I did not know if I can do it in America.
Yeah.
I didn't, because we didn't have, the only person American that we knew about, it was Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
So it wasn't any reference. So I remember trying to find out, you know, if there was need for comedy in America.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who was on a cruise ship or working on a cruise ship in the band, and they would go to US and I remember going to his house, to his apartment, and I said, "Can you tell me? Because no one can tell me." And he put a pillow over his phone and and then said, "Let's go outside because I can't talk about this." And I said, do they laugh in America? Do people, you know?" And he said, "Yes, but, you know, Americans are, you know," and then there was propaganda, Russian propaganda, that they'll sell their mother for money and, you know.
Well, now,
all
some
of
that's, you know.
Okay, you're right. Okay, so. but anyway, so I had to find that information. And then when I was working the cruise ships, I could see the difference when Americans were in the audience. They were so much freer than the Russian people were. They were laughing. They were having fun and drinking light beer. I wanted to risk it. And I did. And I risked it. And I came to America, didn't speak English, and kind of went for it. And in the bar, and started working in the bar in the Catskill Mountains.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's where I kind of would test jokes on my, you know, and then I would look if they left me tips, then I was funny.
Yeah.
And if I didn't get tips, then I wasn't funny enough. So that was my starting point in America.
So you come over, obviously become a big star. Have you ever since gone back and done comedy in Russian?
Showtime in 1990 asked me to go to Moscow and do a show there, which I did. I was reluctant. You know, they said, you know, we want you to go do a special in Russia. And I said, what did I do to you? And they said, and they said, the Berlin Wall is down. I said, yeah, but what if they're just remodeling?
Right? Like they're at the White House. Yeah.
And I did go and I did the special. It was successful. It was called.
Thanks, Randy.
Randy likes a good remodeling joke, too.
And it was called Yakov Smirnov from Moscow, Idaho. So I filmed half of it in Rush in Moscow, and then half of it in Moscow, Idaho.
Wow.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did
that's great.
Okay. And then did the Russian people, were they receptive?
Yeah, they were. The jokes that I was speaking in Russian, and I was able to kind of tap into my, you know, what I used to do. And
right.
Yeah, they were receptive, and they were interested, what does American do, you know? And so, yeah, but it was much more fun doing it in Moscow, Idaho, because then I was more comfortable, and it was a good special. It was nominated for those cable awards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
so
cool.
It was a good.
We got to check that out, man.
Yeah. It was a good special.
That's so did it air in Russian too?
No. Okay. It was Showtime only in America. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
got it. Yeah. Got it. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. There's some clips that I post sometimes, you know, now. There's one clip from that special has 27 million views.
27 million.
Right. Geez. I mean, it's gaining momentum, and it's just a simple joke, you know, that I and the joke was that they say in that when you get married, you become the head of, man becomes the head of the family, but no one tells you that woman becomes the neck of the family, and she turns the head anywhere she wants. 27 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Hopefully we just picked up another couple hundred thousand when we post
there
that.
You go.
Right.
There you
go. When was the last time you were over there?
I went back. My wife is from Ukraine, and I'm from Ukraine. Now, at that point, nobody knew where Ukraine was, so that's how I kind of stuck with the Russian, famous Russian comedian. Sure. And so we went back about 6 years ago before COVID, and yeah, I didn't do shows there. I was just, we were just visiting, yeah. But I don't mind, you know, I don't mind going back. Now it's kind of tense because, you know, I grew up in Ukraine and I speak Russian to my wife. And so there's a internal conflict going on, you know.
I can imagine.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is it wild to your kids all growing up over here? Is it wild to you how different their upbringing is than yours?
Yeah.
And do you remind them of that?
I think I'll do that more. We have a 7 months old right now. So I have a feeling that I'll be able to give him more of that information because my kids were born with American mom. And so they understand it, but they're not relating to that.
Yeah.
This kid will probably relate to that because he'll be speaking the language and he'll be more confused than the other two.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good. 7 months old?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Leonardo.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I tell the joke that Leonardo da Vinci is my wife's favorite artist, and Leonardo is my favorite Ninja Turtle.
Does anybody know which came first? I don't.
I think it was the Turtle.
Yeah,
it was sort of the muse of the artist.
You want to check that one? Right.
I don't even need to check that.
Okay,
I'm just telling you. Sometimes you don't need the laptop, guys.
I think you should ask him to check it.
Randy?
No, we were just...
Yakov, tell us, is there anything that we should be promoting? I know you have the theater down there in Branson. It's a limited run series, right?
I do 30 shows a year.
Okay.
On my website, you can find all the dates. And then I'm touring and I'm doing, I don't know if this is something that I'm doing Netflix as a joke in May.
The festival.
The festival.
Okay, good.
And you'll
in,
be
in
there.
Los Angeles.
You'll
be there
as
I'll
well.
I'll be
there right?
opening for Nate.
Yeah, there you go. My audience will be a little smaller.
But it will be your audience. The folks that will see me at Netflix of a joke did not come to see me.
Okay.
They
okay.
came to see...
They'll love you. Yeah, they'll love you. Yeah. And then I'm doing... May 23rd, I'm doing commencement speech at Pepperdine University.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's fantastic,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. I didn't understand it when they offered it to me. I said, what kind of a gig is that? And they said, well, we'll give you a plaque. And I go, really? And then I realized that it's really a great thing. And I wrote the speech. The dean said, don't change a word. I was crying when I was reading it.
Wow.
So thank you. So, yeah. So okay. I'm excited. Yeah. It's kind of a different thing for me. You
know? I think it's fantastic.
But I got my doctorate degree there. So that's
okay.
That's
right.
How they got.
You have
got
a doctorate?
I have a doctorate, yes.
And
in global leadership.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Man. That's and great. When did you get that?
It was, I graduated in 2019. So I went, when I was in California, I decided why not, you know.
Yeah.
So I got my master's degree in psychology at UPenn, and that's graduated in 2006. And then decided to get my doctorate degree.
We got to start doing more with our time.
Yeah, at some point.
Getting some degrees.
Some people pick up Uber on the side. And he picks up.
We got to start
doctrine on the side.
This podcast
bang one out,
needs to start racking up degrees.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I
we're going to start, Sean. You got to get your GED.
Let's just start with. Yeah, I guess I should have them first.
You go back and do it.
Yeah, like, I don't. It just happened to be asked, what am I promoting? And I don't think. Commencement speech is something you promote. They're going to be, the graduates are going to be there anyway.
They'd have to hurry up to go enroll in Pepperdine and get a degree.
There's a way to sell tickets for everything. Okay. All right.
Thank
Greg,
you.
Where's Pepperdine?
It's in California.
Malibu.
It's in Malibu.
Yeah.
I was going to say that there. It's very, very nice.
I didn't know. I'm asking. I wasn't a know-it-all.
Yeah.
I did not know what it was.
It's a nice university.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
And for all our Nateland folks, you have a Nateland showcase that we shot the same night. So that's out there, too. It's so funny. So
thank you.
Check that out on the Nateland YouTube.
Thank you.
Yeah. Man, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
So cool.
I've really gotten to enjoy getting to know you over the years, the last
you.
Year.
Thank you.
And anytime I'm doing a show, please come. the people go crazy. Yeah. We are the consumers. You have the right...
Charge that phone.
In Texas.
We did an entire Miller Lite episode with Miller Lite's most famous celebrity, and realized nobody had to drink a beer.
In our defense, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's in the morning right now when we're recording.
But it's 5 p.m. somewhere.
See?
5 p.m.
That's
somewhere.
Why that's such a famous expression.
When did you say Minsk?
In Minsk. Yeah, I think it's, I'm almost sure. We know our fans, we know our listeners. There would be 75,000 comments like, you cowards can't drink a beer. You didn't
just
even.
Can't
like,
hack
so
it.
Listen.
Eating Frosty in every episode and you can't have a beer.
Yeah, so Sean and Yakov are going to have a Miller Lite.
All right,
let's
do it, buddy.
And I'm going to have a sip of one.
Yeah, man, see, this is the life to live, Greg.
Yeah.
Just live a little.
It tastes great.
It's cold, though.
Tim, you want one in front of you just for optics?
No, thank you.
No, he doesn't drink.
I know.
For optics. If you guys don't break out into a Taste Great Less Filling fight, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah. Ready?
Okay, ready. Go.
There we go.
Oh, nice, yeah. Man.
Oh.
Here's
cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Well, that's good. That's
cheers.
Good. Outstanding.
Mmm. Tastes great. And
it is fun, man.
Less filling.
Tastes great. You're wrong, Greg.
In Texas.
Yeah, me and you.
In Texas.
In Texas.
Tastes great, y'all.
It is a Pilsner. That's the one thing I remember. Like Bud Light's a lager. This is a Pilsner.
Yeah.
Can't remember what that means, but something.
I can't either. Yeah.
But like you would say, one is a distinct.
These are difficult to brew, though. Like, you know, everybody's like the craft brew and all that. Mm-hmm. There's more leeway. This is extremely precise. Lagers and Pilsners. Or, yeah, Pilsners are harder to get right.
Greg's right.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, it's the craft brew. It's no. This is to be able to get this right is it's very precise and it is good. And I don't really drink very much, but I might get back into it.
Hey man, we got 9 left, buddy. Actually, 21.
When is the last time any of you guys had a Miller Lite?
Probably for me, 40 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
On that set?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's about time that I get another commercial out of this.
Yeah, there we go.
Come on, guys.
Here we go.
Honestly, again, it looks about the same as he did in that commercial, man. It's incredible.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, we gotta.
Yeah, we just gotta clip this, send it out there. Max the amount of exposure on that old ad. Yeah. It's like having two.
Oh. Yeah. Listen, and they're going to call him, and they're going to you, man. They're going to say, listen, we want you back for the commercial, but we want nothing to do with those guys.
Three dorks.
And listen, you cut us loose, all right? You cut us loose.
Thank you. It's so nice of you. Wow. Yes. It's a pleasure.
A fine Pilsner. Fine Pilsner beer.
Tastes good?
I love it.
Good.
Yeah.
Great,
good,
actually.
Good. Great.
Mm.
How's your filling? You filled up or
less? Got more? I would say it's less.
Less.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, less than the other beer that I don't drink.
Did you finish one?
Oh no,
Sean O'Brien.
We're doing another podcast, man. This is. Did you guys ever do the shotgun?
What is the shotgun? Oh, don't tell me. I don't want to know what shotgun
you
is.
Take you punch a hole in the bottom of the beer and then you open it and it just goes.
Yeah.
It's like an airflow.
You see in Russia, shotgun to me.
Yeah.
Totally different thing.
Is that what we call it?
I thought you were going to say beer shotguns you.
Yeah, that's it's like Leno's joke.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Yakov.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy.
And we have comments.
We sure do. We wanted to keep the comments current.
Yes.
That episode that you've just been in the middle of, this episode that you're listening to, was recorded a while ago when we were in Austin, Texas. These comments are more current. We'll also tell you dates that we've got coming up, where we're going to be on the road. So get ready for that. These comments.
Those are current too, right?
The dates. Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. I was going to use some 25 dates, but I was just like, no, we might as well go current.
I like the experimentation.
Yeah.
But.
Try new things.
Utility.
Yep.
Not very good.
Yeah, agreed. These are from the Johnston and Murphy episode, which featured Julian McCullough and a brief guest appearance by the one and only Greg Garcia.
That was a good episode.
A lot of fun. People enjoyed it. Amanda Akers Homestead said, I had never heard of the brand before today. When I saw the title of the episode, I thought, oh, wow, they're already starting to cover law firms as brands. How did they run out of ideas so fast?
Yeah, I could see where you would think that.
Johnston and Murphy. She's right. It sounds like a law firm, but it is a...
I'm surprised
it's a menswear brand.
It's a pretty big deal brand. I guess it's mostly men's, it is men's. I think there are some women's, but it's men's shoes throughout history.
I'd never really been in there. I get it mixed up with a bunch of others. Like I always want to call it Allen Edmonds and all kinds
similar
of
similar shoes, I believe.
Yeah.
I think Johnston & Murphy is a bigger deal.
Sure.
I think they're into more clothing now. 50-50 from what we heard from that guy there.
Just wasn't on my radar, but I'm glad it is now because I got some shoes out of the deal. And I got my eye on some clothing there. Some of the stuff that you guys got.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I see you were rocking that sort of blazer thing.
And then
You wore it at shows in
jacket,
LA.
Jacket, if you will.
Saw those pictures of you on stage in Los Angeles.
Yeah, at the Intuit Dome.
Look great.
You liked it?
Yes.
Good look for me,
whole
you think?
New look for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I ordered another similar piece.
I couldn't possibly support that more. I think that sounds great. BRYGOSS commented.
Brygoss?
Maybe. It might be. It could be Brie. I don't know.
Brygoss.
Brygoss commented, this was definitely one of the best episodes. After 390 episodes, y'all are getting a handle on things, even if there isn't one on Sean's car. So good.
That's good writing right there.
Yep. That was the episode where Sean broke his car door handle off right before the taping.
Brygoss, if you are listening, email Sean and we're going to get you hooked up with a prize for that.
Not a handle.
Not a handle.
But something.
He's not giving away his handle. I haven't heard whether that thing's gotten fixed or not.
I don't know either. He left town, so he probably didn't need it.
I guess he's had to have some pretty awkward entries and exits of the car.
Oh, really? Going through the passenger? I would pay money to see that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would too.
I really would. Mike McDonald, 3303, said, I want the door handle.
I want the door handle.
People want the door handle. It's not happening, guys.
Not happening.
Sorry. David Beal.
If it is, Sean will sign it with a silver Sharpie.
That's a great idea. Yeah. David Beal, 1210, said, I want the door handle, but I'll settle for a size 13 Johnson & Murphy's.
Wow. Bigfoot.
All right, David. You took a lot of heat on this particular episode with Julian.
Julian had a lot to say about me.
Your age, your loneliness, all kinds of things.
Age, loneliness. Julian usually says that after every time I get on stage at the Nate shows.
That's too bad.
Talks about my
walk off feeling good about yourself. And
then he'll say some really nice things, tell him where I'm going to be, and then he'll take a few shots at
me.
Bring you right back down.
Unreal. Princess Summerland, 7269, she jumped in
She's
to defend
one of our favorites,
you.
Yeah. Man.
She said, to be clear, Greg could be married if he wanted.
Thank you, Princess.
There you go.
I don't know if you're right.
I mean, he could argue that anyone could be.
I don't think she meant it like that.
I think maybe she did. She's just saying. I mean, I believe it if you wanted to be.
I think she was trying to be nice.
She was. Jeremiah and Maggie Gutierrez, 3261, said the remaining member of Milli Vanilli, works on his vocals, and now he does a decent version of Blame It on the Rain. It's on YouTube.
Oh, so...
We talked quite a bit about Milli Vanilli. Famously, you know, you saw the faces. They weren't the guys singing, but now that guy's trying to make it as an artist. There's Rob and Fabrice.
One of them passed away. Mm-hmm. Had a rough go of it.
Yeah.
I imagine both of them did, but...
He's performing out there.
I think Rob's out there and he's gotten to be a better singer.
Yeah. That's what
I Jeremiah completely Maggie respect say. That.
Totally. Yeah, they're young. They're in the middle of that. I mean, somebody makes you that offer, you're going to say no.
I said no to it.
Oh, the Milli Vanilli. They asked you, they came to you first before Rob and Fabrice?
No. I mean, it was a similar situation. It was just a different,
same genre. Was it also pop music?
It was. Yeah.
Okay.
And they wanted me to front for somebody. And
really?
Yeah. I can't remember what it was called.
You can't.
Milli Vanilli, I think is what it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Girl, you know it's a lie.
Yeah. Matt Malone, 8087.
Blame It on the Hail was it wasn't as
catchy. And what was the group called again?
Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Malone, 8087. So we talked quite a bit. We were doing bits about Dodge Neons and stuff, and Sean brought up the Jaws of Life thing, and we were kind of trying to find what that punchline was. Matt Malone, 8087, said, the Jaws of Life for a Dodge Neon are fingernail clippers.
I like it.
Pretty good. And then, chime in, I never know how to pronounce this one. AMEIS 55 said,
AMEIS
55.
I mean, you're saying the 55 right.
Thank you. Anyway, that person chimed in and said,
It would be on me, but it's reversed. It would be the French word for friend.
It's just a combination of letters. There isn't necessarily a true pronunciation. You know what I mean? It's not
just
a name.
Then make one. Go with it.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's just say this. I'm going to say it from now on until I'm corrected.
Then Bob
That's
said.
That's how we got to Milli Vanilli.
Okay. Yeah, you're right, which really paid off. Bob commented on the fingernail clippers joke and said, yeah, I guess you're right. Sean didn't really nail it.
Good job.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Bob. For Shirdly. On the Johnson and Murphy episode, said, I'd never heard of this brand. Female, age 42. I like that.
Yeah, I guess not.
Zachary Rodeback said, Sean, I think getting the wallet is fine to showcase the brand. Definitely better than not one, but two featureless gray jackets. That is calling out the jackets that Sean and I were wearing.
Yeah.
Calling them featureless, which since when is comfort not a feature?
Yeah.
Comfort and affordability, those are two features right there.
They look pretty cool.
I love that thing. That's something I'm going to go buy.
Affordable, but they were.
For that look, I think.
Yeah.
I said it on the pod. I think Johnson and Murphy, much more affordable than I would have thought.
It's not like they're cheap, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. They're nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that jacket works with me.
You want it to be a, because you wear it so much, you want it to be an aspirational brand.
I don't know about that. I
think that's what I'm getting. Randy?
I don't really care about that.
He wants to make it clear that not just anybody is wearing it.
It's affordable because none of y'all paid for anything.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah. Randy's cracking
myself up. I'm cracking myself up.
That gray jacket, I don't know if that one goes as much with me.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I'll give you that.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to see it on you. We'll talk.
A little bit. It's not as, I like the other one.
Yeah, other one's great. SW Darby said, I strongly agree with Sean on the wallet. For one, I've never heard of this brand. So he did a great job showcasing the variety of products that they make. Secondly, in a capitalist system built on the exploitation of cheap labor and planned
obsolescence. Planned obsolescence.
Yeah. Planned obsolescence. It's good to buy things that you will need and use, not just waste money on things that might look good on a display for an audio first platform. Good on Sean for representing us common folk, not just the country club types like Greg and Tim. Wow.
Yeah, I knew he was going to. They love Sean.
They sure do.
You understood my point, though, right?
About the wall? Yeah, I tried to back you up, and then it got weird.
You tried to.
Randy, do you remember? I absolutely did.
I wasn't really paying attention, man.
You gotta be kidding me.
Come on, man.
I spelled it out. Here's the thing. When he's wrong,
dude,
you kind of maybe a little but half-heartedly back me up, but every other time you're on his side. I mean.
Man, I called that one down the middle, and I explained your point to him very clearly and not condescendingly.
He got it right away, right?
I didn't say that. I just said that I did not take his side.
I thought it was a chiseler move.
At all. I mean, it doesn't matter. That ship has sailed. Aaron J. 2501 said, I'm with Sean 100% on the wallet. My husband would not be able to wear their clothes. He's a 3X and doesn't wear shoes like that. He's a work boots guy. But knowing they have wallets would give him a reason not to skip out on the store entirely.
Okay.
She's saying good promotion for the brand, which is, it's not why we're here, to get you to go in there. You know what I mean?
We'd like it if you go in.
But if you go in,
if we say it's cool,
it helps. It's a shared experience, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Randy, I think you'll have some fun in there.
Jacob Brantley, 23.
Get your husband a wallet. I reverse my position.
Really?
No.
This just in. Jacob Brantley, 2329, said, I rewatched, no, you say it, about 10 times.
What was that?
Sean mispronounced something. You go, oh, what'd you say? I said that, say that word again. And then Sean goes, no, you say it. And it lit up the comments. People were real happy.
That's right, man. That's right. Because it was like a cologne.
Oh, it was the atomizer.
Yeah. Autonomizer.
He said autonomizer.
And yeah. I don't know a lot about cologne, but I was like, I think it's atomizer.
No, you
I
say
I think you
it.
Get an extra syllable in there.
Oh, it's great. Samantha Vila, W7R, said, great episode, guys. How do we find Greg Garcia's shows? Don't bring up peanut butter. Took me out. The very funny Greg Garcia. Worked on a bunch of stuff.
Worked on a ton of stuff. I mean, the stuff that he created. My name is Earl. Raising Hope. Sprung. On Amazon. I think it was one season. The Guest Sprung. Book. I believe on Amazon too. Okay.
I gotta watch Sprung.
Yes, it's good. Yeah, yes. It's like COVID area. Yeah. COVID era stuff. What am I missing?
Yes, Dear.
Yeah. Great show.
Great show.
Anthony Clark, Yeah, Billy Gardell was in that thing.
He was?
Yeah, yeah.
Mike,
those guys are, Mike, didn't Mike, that guy, what didn't he spend some time on ESPN too? Not ESPN too.
Yeah.
ESPN also.
Yeah. And he was the host of, Guts, I think.
Okay. I don't know what Guts
is. Yeah. He'd have been too old for Guts. It was a game show on Nickelodeon. It was fantastic.
Oh,
Mike,
really?
Is it Mike Malone?
No, it's not Mike Malone. I know Mike Malone.
What the heck?
McCarthy?
No, that's the football coach.
Okay.
Mike.
All right, let's get it. We're going to find it. We don't have Randy on the, so we got to do it on our own this time.
Da-da-da.
The cast, I'm almost there. It's Mike O'Malley.
Mike O'Malley.
Yeah, Mike O'Malley.
Right there.
Yeah, Anthony Clark. Very funny comedian.
Galifianakis showed up on that a little bit.
Did he really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good show.
So good. What in the world's going on here? Okay. He was amazing.
Yeah, go check out Greg's shows. I think you can find them all. My Name is Earl. Is that... I wonder... He was talking about it.
Sorry, Galifianakis was on something else. All right, what would you say?
That didn't make a lot of sense.
Galifianakis was on Boston Common.
Cool. With Anthony Clark?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Anthony Clark's first foray into acting, I believe.
Worked out well. Yeah, you're right about Gardell.
Yeah, he played a security guard.
26 episodes.
Anthony Clark's character worked as like an accountant or business guy for one of the networks or studios, and Gardell played a security guard on the lot, I think.
The great Tim Conway on there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I just watched. Did you ever see when, what's the guy? Is it Harvey Korman?
Yeah.
Wins the Emmy, and I guess he was nominated. I guess Tim Conway was also nominated. So Harvey Korman goes up, and Tim Conway just also goes up.
Oh, yeah.
And he just looks at him. He's just staring at him the whole time he's doing the speech.
Oh, it's funny. Very funny. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Just so funny. Anyway, so check out Greg Garcia's stuff. Thank you guys for the comments. Keep those coming. Let's talk about some shows. Greg's going to Canada, folks. Not for good, just for a little bit. So catch him if you can. Winnipeg, May 27th through the 30th at Rumors Comedy Club. Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'm talking to you. Greg and I are going to be there at the Looney Bin, June 10th. It's a very special Wednesday night. Hopefully still some tickets left. Looking forward to seeing you in Tulsa at the Looney Bin on June 10th. And then Greg's got a little Southern California, Los Angeles area run coming up. June 17th, he'll be at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. June 20th, Hollywood, baby, at the Hollywood Improv. June 21st, Pasadena at the Ice House. Then Greg and I'll be in Old Illinois. June 27th, Rockford, Illinois at the Rockford Women's Club. June 28th, Monticello at Three Ravens. Is it Monticello or Monticello?
That's a good one. I would...
We're going to figure it out by June 28th, guys. That's the point. And then... myself and Sean O'Brien, our co-host, who couldn't make it here for these comments, we're going on tour in the fall. Those dates are up. TimConveyStuff.com. We're talking about Nashville, Columbia, Chicago, Champaign, Springfield, Edwardsville, Cape Girardeau, a bunch of dates. Check those out. TimConveyStuff.com. Greg's is GregWarrenComedy.com. Keep the comments coming. Keep following us on all the socials, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much for watching, listening, etc.
We are the consumers. You have been... consume.